Welcome back again as we struggle with the question of the day. What does it mean to define good? And can we do it together? Today we have a guest host sitting in for Mr. William Deed here. He's out sick today. That's not good. Matisha Hutchins is going to join us and see if she can't tackle the issue here today. So welcome back, Matisha. You've been a guest here. Now you're a host here on the show.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here and hosting this afternoon. So thank you so much for having me.
And who did you bring with you here? I just have to say she dressed perfectly today for the studio. People will think I handed this orange coat to her today, but no, she came prepared here today.
Yes, she did.
And orange she's been here before. And I will say this, and then I'll try and shut up here. You two are people, two great examples of people who I think are doing good work. And yet, I have people come in here every week, every day, and they think good is just a succession of stats and numbers, and it's a PowerPoint. So hopefully you're going to give us a little deeper understanding about what it means to, you're going to give us a better way to define good and see if we can together come up with a common thing, because I think that's what's missing today here. How do we all decide if it's good if we can't even decide what is good?
Yeah, we don't want to leave here hungry today, right?
No, let's feed it.
We want to leave here and know that we have been fed something amazing that can continue to help
us. I'm sorry, I think I jumped over the guest name and the title and everything here.
I have with me today Janice Frechette.
Frechette.
With Parentis Foundation.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much for joining me today.
And I got to ask, and I'll try not to keep butting in, but she told us what it meant. She's been here before, and I didn't know what it meant. I should have known it's Latin because I'm a good Irish Catholic, and I sensed Latin in it, but I didn't know what it meant. So what does the Parentis Foundation do, and what does that name mean?
Paul jumped in before I could ask. I was going to ask that.
Yeah, it's that synergy going on here. Parentis is Latin for Parentis... Parentis loco.
Parentis racing. Loco parentis.
In loco parentis. I had it earlier. In loco parentis. And that's in lieu of a parent. And that is, we're going to talk about the secret sauce of our program.
Yeah, that's so beautiful. So we were speaking a little bit off camera about the name of the organization. And so for those of us hearing Parentis for the first time, can you tell us a little bit about the organization and what's behind what you do every day?
Absolutely. So Parentis Foundation, we're celebrating our 10 years, 10-year
Wonderful.
Anniversary this year, which for a small nonprofit is a huge accomplishment. It's very proud of that. And we started 10 years ago with an idea that older adults, when they retire, have so much more to give. They've not been able to do what they wanted to do or find a second passion in their life because it was all about career and family and meeting all their benchmarks and goals for that time. And 10 years ago, I was with Tara Calnable, who is the founder of Parentis Health Companies, which is home health, hospice, home care, residential boarding care homes. And we both sit on the board of directors for a Boys and Girls Club in San Juan Capistrano, the Boys and Girls Club of Capistrano Valley. And he came to me and he said, I want to start a foundation that engages older adults in the community. And I am rooted in being a champion for senior advocacy. And that really sparked some interest in me. But I also have an education background and wanted and realized that partnering between older adults and children is the secret sauce.
Yeah.
He happened to have named his for-profit company Parentis Health. So we did Parentis Foundation, that whole combination of children needing an older adult mentor in lieu of a parent is what sparked our whole journey to where we are today.
Yeah, and I love that. As I said before, we were speaking a little bit off the mic, and we were talking about that need in the community for young people and also for our older generation to kind of have that connection to bridge the gap, right? A lot of our young people don't have older people in their lives, positive impact, or the older person is acting as the parent, right? And so maybe they don't have the ability to provide that to them. So as an educator, you've spent so many years helping kids through literacy and mentorship programs. What moment made you realize that this was the thing that you wanted to do?
So it was easy to see the connection was going to be pretty magical. And when we first started this concept of this intergenerational connection, and we started to talk to potential volunteers, and the light in their eye, that aha moment where I could help a child learn to read. Now, that's a whole generation that understands that literacy is the foundation for everything. It's how you escape and get to dream big and learn more and connect through storytelling. So when we were talking to these seniors in the community and they were signing up, they were excited about making this connection, afraid, because many of them never taught. They were career people in different industries. And to be able to see that sparkle in their eye and say, you have a program that you're going to teach me to do, and I'm going to be able to help children read. That was at the foundational level. What's happened now over 10 years is the relationships. It gives me goosebumps because we're finishing up our tutoring this in the next couple weeks. And so we're having all these end of year parties. And to see the kids come running through the door, just embracing their mentors and realizing that we call them reading coaches and realizing that the year's almost over.
Yeah.
And they may have come in to their tutor sessions apprehensive first. Mm-hmm. And now they're just buddies. They've had good, rich conversations over the months that they work with their kids. And that, to me, was the why that mm-hmm. keeps us still going 10 years later. It never changes. It only gets better.
Yeah, I can imagine that. Those must be really strong bonds that the children are able to build with their reading buddy or their reading coach.
Yeah.
And so that's what's so fantastic. And I can imagine that they're learning so much more than just how to read the words in a book, but they're learning life lessons and they're learning things that are going to be so important for their future selves.
There's so many good things. When we're talking about defining good, I'll give you an example. The good in the program itself is a triple win. It's the win for the kids, obviously. It's a win for the families in the community, but it's also a win for a population of our older adults who are finding purpose. It's helping them become mentally engaged mm-hmm. in things that they thought, okay, I'm going to retire. I can only play so much golf. Or the wife sends a little note to the husband that says, there's a volunteer opportunity information session. I think you need to go and do something. And then all of a sudden, my best volunteers are these gentlemen who are loving their time with the kids.
Yeah.
And that it's surpassed the extra golf day or a pickleball match. They really are connected. And so when they look at the kids and they're meeting with them, or they're meeting with us collectively as a group, they're not just thinking the end result is teaching a child how to read. Mm-hmm. They're talking about life lessons. They're talking mm-hmm. about what's happening in the world, but just being an empathetic listener. These are good things that kids get exposed to, but volunteers get to test skills they didn't know they had.
Yeah.
And really stay current and lifelong learners.
Yeah. That's so beautiful. I love that. I can remember some of my fondest memories when I was younger was sitting with my grandmother at the piano and learning how to read music or sitting and hearing stories, talking stories and things like that. So I know how important it is to have those connections. And I can only imagine for our seniors who come and are able to do that, that it makes such a huge impact on their lives, right? It gives them more purpose every single day. So thank you
yes.
for sharing that. So you were recently recognized, I'm really excited about that.
Thank you.
As a woman making a difference in Orange County, what did that honor mean to you personally?
Humbling. Humbling. I feel like I'm just one of a village. And Hillary Clinton, maybe, I don't remember, but it takes a village to raise a child. It takes a village to raise us all. And I just feel like my happiest moments are when I'm collaborating in the community, when I'm meeting my fellow nonprofit leaders, or where I'm in a business networking group and I get to hear what other challenges are, and it's how can I help you? what is it that I can do or connect you with, or what resources do you need that I might have access to? That, I think that's what that honor was about, was because I bring my authentic self. It's not about me doing it by myself. It's about how do we do it as a village.
Yeah, that's super important that we all stay interconnected, right? That we're moving together as a unit despite everything else that's going on, that we're continuing to push forward, right? We see a need, we feel the need.
Yeah.
And that's really important.
You know, when we go to these big events or a room full of 400 members of the community, and I sit back and I look at everybody in that room, and we all play a small part in a big picture. That's good.
Yeah.
Where it collectively, we can't do it by ourselves. Goodness knows I don't want to try. But as a whole community, and we're all looking at different pieces of the big puzzle, but collectively that puzzle's coming together. And I wish those stories were told more. Shining the light on all of us together making a difference. And that to me feels really good.
Yeah, because if there's one piece missing of that puzzle,
we're going to find that piece. We're gonna re-engineer it. If
that's
we have
right,
to.
Exactly. Reverse engineer. Yeah.
Reverse engineer.
That piece.
We
need
piece.
A whole puzzle. Yeah. You don't want to just a piece.
My granddaughter has a 3D printer. She'll fix it.
That's awesome. I might need a get in contact with her. You work with so many leaders. You were talking about all the leaders in the room, and we've been in many rooms together as well. So when you talk about leaders of different organizations across Orange County, what do you think makes a community actually feel connected to the leadership and to the organizations?
The heart, the true, authentic heart that it means, whether it's Richard Ward with Success with Purpose or David Elliott leading Paskey's Foundation with the Institute for Community Impact, or sitting in a room with Dr. Bean, the Orange County Superintendent of Schools. I'm affiliated with all these organizations, and I don't do it because I need to be busier. I do it, if that's a word. I do it because they fill, again, going back to the heart of what it takes to keep a community healthy. Yeah. And they all lead with good intention, and they all are driven by that same passion to connect people.
Yeah.
How can that one person help another person? And if they bring them in a room together, good stuff happens.
I would have to say that Orange County is a special place for that, right?
Yes.
We are really fortunate to be in a community of people who understand that we are, if we support each other, that we could move mountains. We can do anything. And Orange County is a really special place. And we're very fortunate to have so many leaders, corporate leaders and nonprofit leaders that are really doing the hard work out there to ensure that our communities are whole and are connected and are thriving. And so I really feel fortunate to be in this space, as I'm sure you do as well.
And it's really unique to see the corporate in the, I call it for purpose organizations, because we have to make a profit or we can't sustain, right? So nonprofit is a tax designation, period. But for our for-purpose missions, how connected the corporate community is to it. Yeah. And if they're not, they want to learn more. And that's a lot of fun to see unfold too. I really enjoy that part of it, my position.
Yeah. And it goes back to that relationship building, right? The relationships
Absolutely.
Between the young people and our seniors, the relationships between our community and our leaders, the relationships between the nonprofits and those corporate entities.
It's a triple win.
It's a triple win. It's all about building that community. So you've built relationships with businesses, with leaders, educators, nonprofits, and community advocates. What's the secret? You talked a little bit about the heart. But is there another secret in bringing people together?
I think it's exactly what Paul led with today. The stories. You got to tell the stories behind what you're doing. It's one thing for me to say, I'll throw some numbers out there. I have 200 plus older adult volunteers in my organization. Every single one of those volunteers has a story, has an impact that they've made, and then sharing those. And making sure that we can back those stories with impact and being able to hear the stories from other organizations and be able to connect those. Yeah. That's really where the work continues to shine.
So you talked about stories. Can you tell us a story that made a really lasting impact, something that stuck with you emotionally that you can share with our listeners?
Absolutely. I think I have two. I'm going to go one with the volunteer. So many that I could tell, but this one always resonates with me. 10 years ago, we were doing our first tutor training. We do a robust training. And this one lady who went through our training, 2-day, 16-hour intensive training, she that night had a stroke. And she was probably as devastated about not being able to tutor. She had to go live with a family member until she recovered. And to this day, she tells the story. That was why, that knowing she was going to be able to help children and be part of our program gave her the desire to get better. 10 years later, I'm going to cry thinking about this. 10 years later, she's with us still.
That's beautiful.
So she took a little time off to heal and get strong. She's one of our best mentors to the kids. And that story resonates with me because we give purpose behind what we do. The flip side of that is the children. Few of our children come to us. No, they're not all struggling readers. Some can read, but it's the emotional regulation that a mentor gives them that helps them become proficient academically. So the big emotions don't get in the way of the academics. So I was at one of our Boys and Girls Club partner sites this week saying goodbye to the tutors and wrapping up the school year. And this little girl looked completely sad and emotional and big feelings. And I thought, oh, what's going on? And the tutor's just consoling her and talking to her and reading to her. And it's like, we had such a great year. I can't wait to see you again next year. Took the tutor a little bit to get her communicating and out of her funk. So they walked out of the tutor center and walked out into the Boys and Girls Club. And she said goodbye to her. About 20 minutes later, she's working with another student. A little girl comes in, big smile on her face. She had made her a friendship bracelet. She walked in, sat quietly and waited for her turn until the tutor was done. And she gave her the friendship bracelet and she's, thank you. Now, any other situation, the little girl would have just left sad. But she felt safe and being able to come back into that space and know it wasn't a behavior, it was a feeling she had, and that her mentor was going to welcome her back. And I got this beautiful email from the mentor that night, and you open your emails and you wonder what they're going to be. And this story, this testimonial from the tutor, validated everything we go through to keep our programs going.
Yeah. That's great. Thank you so much. So important. Yeah, I know we keep talking about that and the relationships and building that. It's like the first story, they both speak to purpose, right? Yeah. You gave someone purpose because they knew they were going to come and work with these young people. And then the young person was also given this opportunity to express how they feel. And what a beautiful gift, right? If a kid gives you a friendship bracelet,
you're in.
You are in.
You're
let
in.
Me tell you.
That's right.
So I know we got to finish up really quick, but I have to ask you this question. When you're not working and serving everybody else, what does Janice do for fun?
Everybody asks me that. The truth is I keep working. It's not work when you enjoy what you're doing.
I agree.
But if I have to break away, I'm a grandmother of six. And four of them live down the street from me.
Oh.
So I love having my grandchildren over. They challenge me in all the great ways.
Yeah.
And they are big proponents of the reading program. The reading club is what they call it. So sometimes we're working together to get ready for the next week because I rent it out of my house. And so my hobby is my job is my hobby.
Love it.
But if I have to break away, my husband and I like to sail and we have a boat in Dana Point Harbor. And that's the quiet time where the computer sits on the desk and I get to go break away and read a good book.
Oh, that's wonderful. I love that. And so the very last question. This is so important. This is the most important question of this hour.
They've been good questions, too.
I'm glad. On this show, we always ask, how do you define good?
Good to me is knowing that the community is working together, that I just get to play a small part in a big picture, and to see it all unfolding, and to see that the good ideas, the good collaboration, the good connections are making a bigger picture and making a bigger impact. That's how I define good.
That's awesome. Thank you. Thank you so much, Janice. It was such a pleasure.
Thank you. Thanks for stepping in for Will.
Oh, I would do it. I would do it any day. I'm sure I wasn't as good as William
was. I don't know. There we go.
And I'm going to jump in and ask you both, how do they get in touch with you? If people want to hear about the good or follow the good or join in the good.
Be part of the good.
Let's start with your guest here first. If people wanted to volunteer, if they want to find out more about the Parentis Foundation.
Absolutely. They're going to go to our website, which is Parentis Foundation.org. And you will see a volunteer tab, and you can go on and put your information in, and it automatically triggers an email to my program coordinator, and they get in touch with you.
And can anybody do good, or do you have to have a certain ability? Do you have to have a certain teacher's license?
No,
and
not at all.
Really high reading.
Paul,
skill?
You could do good.
You could do good.
That'd be exactly.
Great. That'd be great.
Some of our best good do-gooders are people who have never had an education background. They just have a heart.
Because I'm so much more of a talker than I am. It was hard for me not to jump in 12 times a day.
I would have to remind you that kids need to read more than you talk.
I was actually waiting for you to jump in. I was at any moment.
I'm going to try it different this way here. And Tisha, if they want to learn more about the work that you do, I don't even know if we describe what the work you do. Give us a quick ad about what you do.
Absolutely. So I'm a nonprofit consultant. So I work in the nonprofit field here in Orange County. In LA County, and I work with grassroots nonprofits getting their organizational development and their structure together so that they can go out there and do the good work that they need to do. And if you want to reach me, you can reach me via email, and it's my first name, Tisha.Hutchins@gmail.com.
And let's spell Tisha for those that are spelling impaired like me.
Absolutely. T-I-E, S as in Sam, H-A. Hutchins, HUTCHIN@gmail.com. And you can find me also, same name, on LinkedIn.
Gotta love LinkedIn.
Love LinkedIn.
It's a great example to see the two of you just riffing on doing good and exploring doing good. And you both seem to emphasize the togetherness here. It's hard to do good by yourself. You've got to serve others, and you've got to have somebody helping you, I think. But not everybody agrees. Sometimes it's just an internal thing. I'm going to do good for me, and then I'm going to go from there to doing good for others. I don't know.
And I would love to end it with a saying,
please.
And that is, if you want to go fast, go alone. Mm. But if you want to go far, go together.
Oh, that was it. You know, that's perfect. You must have planned that, because that fits perfectly. Thanks for joining us here today.
Thank you,
Bill. Thank you.
There you have it. Some wisdom on how to define good and how to do it together. Right here on the Together Network, we call OC Talk Radio, Orange County's only community radio station, streaming live from our studios here at the University of California, Irvine's Beale Applied Innovation Center.